Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now, your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Dear Blood River Radio family, I want to thank you so much for holding on, and I want to welcome you back to the third hour, just in case you're just coming on, and for all you people that have been hanging on, thank you for staying with us, and once again, I'd like to tell all of our great supporters out there, thank you so much for keeping us on the air. Now, people, we have a wonderful guest I've really been looking forward to having him on. He hasn't been on in a while, but his name is Jason Robb. Esquire. He is an attorney. He has a thriving, thriving to the max law practice in northwestern Arkansas. He's really hard to get a hold of because he has a thriving law practice. He spends most of his time in court helping his clients like a good attorney should do. But he's coming on tonight, and he's going to announce a place that me and Rand and maybe Gene and maybe James are going to be. I know me and Rand, God, unless God stops us some kind of way, we're going to be at a place. And Jason's going to tell about that in just a minute. But he is further and more of his bio. He is the attorney. His dad is Pastor Robb, Thomas Robb in Western Arkansas. And we always joke that I'm his real dad, but I love the guy so much. The first time I met him, we just had a chemistry. He's just a really good, he seems like a kid to me. Anybody less than 60 is a kid. But he's an attorney. He represents the Knights Council of the Ku Klux Klan. And he's just a wonderful man. And we'll be seeing him around the Labor Day holiday. But anyway, we got a couple of things he's going to talk about tonight. We need an attorney to address because we're just all amateurs here, but he's not. He's a professional. How are you doing tonight, Jason?
Well, Eddie, I'm doing really great. I'm glad to be on the show, and it's always a pleasure being on here and just talking to some of the good folks here. It's always a pleasure.
It's always a pleasure to have you. I've never had you on. I don't care what we talked about. I've always told everybody you were one of the most versatile guests we've ever had on. But we've got Miss Nancy, the bell cow, to stay on. She'll probably have a few questions to ask. But anyway, why don't you, Jason, why don't you tell, well, I gave a little bit of bio about you, but give a little bio. Tell the people what we're going to be doing around Labor Day weekend, and et cetera, et cetera. How they can get in touch with you, how they can join your organization, or how they can send donations. And then tell them what we're going to be doing up there, and then we'll delve into the questions I asked you. I want you to talk about what talked about you. I think I talked to you yesterday, I believe it was. But go ahead,
okay,
Jason.
Yeah. Well, this Labor Day weekend, which is August 30, 31st, and September 1st, I believe, Labor Day weekend here in the Ozarks, we have our annual Knights Party Congress. It's the Knights of the Ku Klux Klan, but we usually just call it the Knights Party. But it's our yearly Congress that we have. It's here in outside of Harrison, Arkansas, in the Ozarks, and it's a three-day event. And we have various speakers that come and obviously talk to the crowd, the organization, and members, and different maybe unit leaders or state leaders of our organization. My father, Pastor Thomas Robb, he's a national director of the Knights. And we have this event. We have our cross lighting, which concludes the event always on Sunday evening. But it starts Friday around 3 or 4 o'clock, goes all through that Friday evening, Saturday, and Sunday. It's at our the location is, like I said, just outside of Harrison, Arkansas, in the Ozarks. And it's at private grounds, at a Christian Revival Center grounds. And so we have it here. It's private. It's very relaxing. The purpose that we have it here in secluded area is so people can come here from, you know, various parts of the nation. And kind of just being a relaxing atmosphere, and just go back to their communities at the end of the event to be more dedicated to this cause that we're involved in. And so that's what we have coming up. I believe you're going to be speaking as well. Eddie, we had invited you. I believe you're gracious enough that you're going to be coming there to talk. And so we have really a great event, great speakers. It's a family event. And so it's just a great time. We've been doing that here, holding it, that event here for approximately 30 years and at this location. And but the nice part is a white rights advocacy organization. It's a Klan organization. And my father is the national director of it. I'm the chief counsel for the organization. My sister, Rachel Pendergraft, is involved, and so our whole family is involved in this organization and this movement, trying to awaken our people and try to kind of impress upon them, you know, the what's happening around the country and how they are needing to be involved, how they're needing to love their people and love their race and their culture and their God, and have nothing to be ashamed of it. And so we try to make everything we do positive. There's a lot of good things out there that's happening, even though we see all the negative. There are a lot of positive things out there around us. And so we try to focus on that as much as possible.
You did a marvelous job, Jason. And I'd like to say Jason is a hardcore, he's a wonderful Christian man. I think he walks as close to the path that Jesus Christ has commanded us to walk as anyone I know. He's a much straighter arrow than I am. I guarantee you, I admire him so much. But I can tell you what, I can say this. I've been to the council several times, and I can tell you, people, if you've never been there, you really need to go. It's the most, not only is it relaxing, it's a beautiful atmosphere on private land, totally secure. You'll find the most loving people you've ever seen, warm people that welcome you there, all of a kindred spirit. And I can tell you this 100%. There is a spirit, a we used to call it in the 60s, a vibe, a vibration you get from there. There is definitely, I think God is there. I really do. I swear I'm not lying to you. And I'm going to tell you something else. If you've never been to a cross lighting, you have not lived. It is so emotionally moving. It is the cross line. Matter of fact, Jason is going to do a study. He's so busy comparing the fiery cross symbol with the Star of David. It's compare and contrast. But the fiery cross, it represents Christ bringing light into the world. And it brings, in ancient days in Scotland, it brought the clans together. I tell you what, Jason.
It's a Christian symbol. It's a Christian symbol. We at our Congress, we have the cross lighting. We have a fella that sings "Amazing Grace," and it is very much a traditional Christian symbol. Like you said, Eddie. I mean, it was a symbol that was used in Scotland.
Ancient.
Are you still there?
Yes. Oh, yes. Yes. It's an ancient symbol.
Yes, a very much ancient symbol. Yes, and no. We always tell people, you know, you look at the symbols of the Methodist Church and the Presbyterian Church. They have the symbol of a cross being lit, and so we just act on that. It's, like I said, a very much a traditional Christian symbol. It dispels darkness and represents Jesus Christ lighting the world up, and that Christian evangelism. And so we always have that, of course, at the evening time. And the facility we have there at our location, it's a facility. We have buildings, modern structure. People can stay there, spend the night. We have cabins for men and women. If they're choosing to stay there, they just have to let us know ahead of time. Or if people sometimes like to camp and pitch a tent. It's a very, very relaxing atmosphere. And the whole idea for that is, we know there are people that live in these cities, major cities, and we want them to be able to come there and get rejuvenated, to basically reclaim that spirit of evangelism, of white Christian evangelism. That's how we kind of look at it. And so when they go back to their communities, you know, they can have a purpose in their life to be able to go out and try to awaken their families and friends and maybe coworkers and really understand that they have a worth, they have a race and they have a culture worth fighting for, you know. And so much we see all the doom and gloom around us, and we want people to, you know, realize that, you know, they come from a great past. Their history is a glorious past, and they need to fight for it.
Jason, I'd like to, when we come back, we're going to go to our first break, the third hour. When we come back, I want to make a final comment on just how sacred the cross fighting is and the effect it has on me when we come back, and then we're going to go to you. Be right back, people. Hang on. You don't want to miss this program.
Former Sheriff Richard Mack recounts in his book, The Proper Role of Law Enforcement, how he came to realize while working as a beat cop how wrong the all-too-common orientation of police officers is when they think of their job as being to write tickets and arrest people. Richard Mack tells of his personal transformation from by-the-number cop to constitution-conscious defender of citizen safety and freedoms. Learn what it really means to serve and protect. Purchase your copy at cspoa.org. That's cspoa.org.
Blood River Radio is the only news media in the United States whose sole purpose of being is to fight against the ever-rising tide of global white genocide, both soft and hard genocide, whether it is in the form of ethnic cleansing via the current massive invasion of non-white, non-Christian hordes that are overwhelming the once all-white nations of Western Europe, the United Kingdom, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, and the United States, or via the hard genocide in South Africa, where the rape, murder, and torture of whites is an ongoing daily occurrence. Though we are a Christian brotherhood, we will cooperate with other groups in our operations if it will shorten our people's casualty list. We further pledge to you to leave the radio studio at every opportunity and take it to our churches, to our universities, and most importantly, we promise to occupy the streets. However, none of our mission can succeed without funding. Please help us all that you can and donate to our cause by going to www.bloodriverradio.com.
Do you know what is great about America? Ask an Immigrant. Ask an Immigrant is a new podcast dedicated to helping Americans, especially our youth, value, appreciate, and be grateful for the freedoms we have here in America. Join host Lydia Wallace Nuttall as she interviews immigrants from around the world to discover their inspiring personal stories about why they came to America. To learn more about why America is the most prosperous, greatest country in the world, download the Loving Liberty app or go to lovingliberty.net.
A Bienis is a .44 Magnum, the most powerful handgun in the world, and would blow your head clean off. You've got to ask yourself one question. Do I feel lucky? Well, do you, Bunk?
Dear Blood River Radio family, I'm going to go back. I'll tell you what, I'm going to finish my thought, and I want Jason to finish what he was talking about during the break. But if you've never been to a cross lighting, I'll tell you what, if you're a Christian, if you don't even know you're a Christian, if you don't know your white background, your ancestry, but if you're white and you're a Christian and you go to a cross lighting with sincere, good Christian, fellow Christian people like Jason, I promise you it will have an effect on you. It had a profound effect on me. It raised the spirits. A spirit came out of me. I mean, you could call it vibes, call it whatever it is, whatever you want. But I guarantee you, you need to do that once in your life. But anyway, Jason was telling us about how he says people from Scotland over in that part of the Ozarks. Tell them about that, what you talked about during the break.
Sure, Eddie. What I was mentioning during the break is over the years we've had reporters that have come here from Scotland and England and of course in Europe, but several of the reporters I've been here in the past, we probably have had two or three from Scotland themselves, and they have always commented how the Ozarks reminds them of Scotland, and so to me, you know, when we have the cross lighting here in the Ozarks, you know, to me, it really gets to me every time because you see the cross and you hear the whippoorwills and the crickets in the background and stuff like that. And it's out in the country out in nature, it really does touch you because it really is connecting yourself to your ancestors. And that is something that we have lost, and our enemy wants to destroy us to be able to have a connection to our ancestors. And so we've had reporters here saying how it does remind them of Scotland. And about 4 or 5 years ago, we were in Scotland, in England and Ireland, on my mom and dad's 50th wedding anniversary. We were over there, and it really does look like the Ozarks. We were in Scotland, and it really does look like the Ozarks. And so to me, it really does, you know, touch me, you know, and I know anyone that is there as well. It really does kind of get to your soul and really grabs you and really gets that emotion kick in to see something really beautiful, because it really does represent our people. It represents our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's a Christian symbol. And it really makes you kind of think and almost like meditate, like, no, we have a glorious past to fight for and to reclaim that spirit of our ancestors. And that is something that is just lost out there. And like I said, our enemy wants us not to have any love and admiration for our ancestors. And just simply being there in front of the cross, knowing that that's a Christian symbol and dispelling the darkness, all the evil out there, it really is it's a beautiful sight, it's a beautiful symbol, and it's something that I think it touches everyone that sees that.
I could not agree more. I know it. If it doesn't, if it doesn't touch you, I'd say that phrase this? Your soul is dead. You're an atheist. You're lost, because I'm telling you what, man. I'm just a regular old Joe, saved by the glory and grace of God, but it had an incredible effect on me, and the effect lasts for a while, or quite a while after you're gone. It surely does. But I could not encourage you people enough to come. Jason, how can the people, tell them one more time, how can they get, one thing, they can send an email to eddie@bloodriverradio.com, and I'll find out any information they need. But, Jason, what's the most direct way they can get to you right now?
Well, I mean, they can call the national office. It's 870-427-3414. That's 870-427-3414. Or they can go online to kkknationaloffice.com, and they can go to that website. Or they can just Google the Knights Party, and a lot of times the website will come in or come up that way as well. And so it's very easy to get a hold of us. You know, we've like been around for, you know, several decades, so people can, like say, go online and they can do that way. It's kind of funny, even if they just typed in Jason Robb, you know, first thing that usually comes up is going to say KKK lawyer. So they get me that way as well. So it's very easy. We're very outspoken, very well known, and so they shouldn't have any problem, you know, calling, emailing, going on the website, and getting a hold of us. But it is on Labor Day weekend, and there's no dues to sign up to attend the Congress. We always just tell people, you know, you got to be a white Christian or a moral person to attend. Just let us know, and it's a family event. We have a lot of families. Some people think, well, it's just a white male organization. I would say I would say probably a good 50-60% of our members are actually women. We have a really good representation of women and families, and it is a very much a family organization. And so at these events, we always have, you know, the family, the children involved, and
yes,
we believe that, yeah, we believe that children needs to be involved in the struggle.
Yeah, then the precious children. That's one of my favorite parts. One of my favorite parts of being there. It's just I can't say enough about it. If I'm not there, that means I'm dead or something. It would definitely not be God's will, but me and Rand will be there. Hopefully, Gene, and I'm hoping and praying Nancy can come. And they would love Nancy there. She would love them. But anyway, you know, one of the things we're going to ask you, Jason, you know, I guess the first of all, the two things I'd like to ask you to cover that's kind of got me, it's a little worrisome. We'll talk about the bill. I told you about the congressional bill. Second thing I'd like to get you to talk about was this kangaroo course that Trump just went through. Whether you like Trump or not, if they did it to him, I know it's a cliche, but if they did it to a president of the United States, they can do it to anybody. But first of all, Jason, have you heard anything about, it's H.R. 60, I'll just paraphrase it, it's the anti-Semitic Observation Act, something like that came out of Congress, and I don't know if it's gone to the Senate, but I don't know if it's going to become law. If it does law, if it become law, what if with the Supreme Court, et cetera, et cetera. Talk about that a little bit, if you don't mind, Jason, since you're an attorney.
Well, I've heard just a little bit about it. I haven't looked too much in depth, but if it's probably like most bills, it's probably designed to make it a crime. Probably to talk negatively or anything hateful towards Israel. And so they probably have that design. And there's been bills like that in the past. State bills and local municipalities will have bills, similar situation where you can't talk anything about Israel or just anybody at all as far as a racial group or a sexual orientation or something like that. But a lot of those, you know, have in the past, you know, gone up to the U.S. Supreme Court, you know, and they've held those are unconstitutional. But again, that doesn't mean that the Supreme Court would do that. And sometimes the U.S. Supreme Court won't take up those issues. But you may have a federal district court or you may have an appellate court that will uphold those type of laws. And so if you have the U.S. Supreme Court that doesn't take a bill or not, but an issue or a case that says, no, that's unconstitutional, then you may have several states that it's constitutional to do that, to discriminate against white people. And to me, that's what it is. It's really discriminates against white people and freedom of speech. And so that type of bill is probably something that is probably going to just continue to increase more and more down the road. I mean, as America becomes more non-white and more non-Christian, you're going to see more of those legislations taking place in Congress and in various states, and it will become more communistic and Marxist country. And I think that's what you're just going to see more and more as the United States becomes more non-white.
I appreciate you coming in on that. You know, in Canada, you may be aware, Jason, in Canada, they've already passed draconian laws like that. I don't know exactly which one it is. By the way, the definition that the Congress is using to decide if something is anti-Semitic or not comes from the International Holocaust Memorial Society, whatever. Of course, just Jew. They're using their definition of what's anti-Semitic, and I'd say anything that the Jews don't like is anti-Semitic. But in Canada, They're putting people in prison. I need to get Monica Schaefer to come on again, or Paul Fromm. He's talked about this before. It carries life in prison. It's not 1129, 5 to 10, life in prison. I don't know how close we are to going down that route, but like you say, you made a key point. The more non-white this United States becomes, the more in danger we are of that. Well, we got to go to a second break. Jason, when we come back, we'll ask you about, I know what everybody's on everybody's mind is what just happened to President Trump. We'll get you to discuss that if you don't mind, Jason. Be right back, people. Hang on your seats.
daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA News. I'm Corey Myers. Michelle Traconis, sentenced to 20 years, suspended after 14 and a half in a Connecticut courtroom. She was found guilty of conspiring to murder Jennifer Doulos, the estranged wife of Traconis's then-boyfriend, Fotis Doulos. She will serve her final 5 years on probation. Family and friends of both Jennifer and Traconis delivered statements to the court, including three of Jennifer's 5 children. She was declared dead by a court last year, although her body has never been found. Israel has introduced a new proposal for a ceasefire in Gaza. USA's John Schaefer has more.
President Biden outlined the proposal from the White House Friday.
During the 6 weeks of phase one, Israel and Hamas would negotiate the necessary arrangements to get to phase two, which is a permanent end to hostilities.
He described it as a roadmap for a lasting ceasefire involving the release of hostages held by Hamas in exchange for Palestinian prisoners detained by Israel.
The National Transportation Safety Board said although the gas line wasn't being used, it was still pressurized and was cut 6 minutes before a huge explosion rocked downtown Youngstown, Ohio. That blast occurred near Central Square Tuesday afternoon. One person was killed, 7 others injured in that explosion. Now, the initial investigation found that workers were in the building to clear out old utilities from the basement and vault area, including old piping. The workers made 2 initial cuts, and after making a 3rd cut, they knew immediately that there was a problem, pulled the fire alarm to evacuate the building. This is USA News.
Greece is cheap,
but the airfare costs a fortune.
Paris?
Not much closer, and again, airfare...
What about Puerto Vallarta?
Let's face it, flying anywhere is just too expensive.
Wait, what's this? Low-cost airlines.
With one call to low-cost airlines, you'll drastically slash your travel costs. We're talking insanely low airline prices to any of your favorite destinations. Where would you like to go? London, Rome, Costa Rica, Australia?
Wow, that's cheap.
So why wait? Call now to learn how crazy cheap it is to fly anywhere in the U.S. or international. Our prices are so low, we can't publish them. The only way to get them is to call to instantly hear the most amazing best deals on airline travel. It's that easy. So call now and start packing.
800-215-5141. 800-215-5141. 800-215-5141. That's 800-215-5141.
Hello, friends. This is Jacob from Blood River Radio. We call the kings into account and tell the truth to shame the devil on this show every week because we are of the firm conviction that our cause cannot succeed without true revival amongst the remnant, amongst that principled minority of the dispossessed majority. Now is the time to stand and be counted, to do like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who would not bow down to the false idols of their day, even under pain of death. Like the 300 mighty men of valor who surrounded the Midianites with Gideon, or the 7,000 men that God told the prophet Elijah had not bowed their knees to Baal in a time when even calling fire down from heaven would not awaken our kinsmen from their slumber. If you are encouraged by our labors in the trenches for the kingdom and the cause of truth, liberty, and righteousness, I urge you to consider supporting this program. No donation is too small. We can do with thousands or even hundreds what our enemies and the powers and the principalities of this present darkness need tens of millions to do. So please donate today at BloodRiverRadio.com and help us take up the hedge and stand in the gap against the great evils of our time.
In the medical field, IT security is crucial. Our highly skilled consultants are HIPAA certified and have 20 plus years of experience servicing medical clinics, billing and supply companies. We offer comprehensive endpoint protection, guarding your computers and servers against all stages of threats. And with our 24/7 monitoring services, you'll never worry about extensive downtime again. Ready to level up your IT support? Call 801-706-6980 today and discover how great IT services can be with Managed IT Services.
Have you ever heard of Loving Liberty Ladies? Well, the Loving Liberty Ladies are here to help you learn our American heritage and the way it affects today's society. The Loving Liberty Ladies also have a discussion guide called Proclaim Liberty. And with this guide, you can start your own group in your hometown. Get yours today on our website at lovingliberty.net. Look for our lesson supplements, too. They're free. To hear all the special offers and to join the fight for freedom and liberty, please go to lovingliberty.net.
Dear Blood River Radio family, we're so excited. Me and Jason and Nancy were talking about during the break going down to the Knights Congress and the Crosslighting. I do hope and pray that me and Rand and Nancy, that hopefully Gene can make it too, and hopefully even old James. He's shining his old head up. That old head will be shining at night, boy. We can use that for a beacon. But I love that old guy. I'm not kidding you. He loves me to death, too. James worships the ground I walk on. I don't blame him, though. But anyway, I mean, who wouldn't? No, but I know Nancy. Sure, Nancy beats my head all the time. But anyway, Jason, he's an attorney, like we talked about. He's a real smart guy. And I know he's been watching what went on with this thing they call a trial with former President Donald Trump. So we feel, Jason, break that down for our family, our Blood River Radio family.
Well, I'm probably not going to say anything that everyone has not already heard and witnessed. I mean, obviously they saw where he was convicted. Everyone knows it was a sham trial, a kangaroo court. It was obviously being held in New York, and you have the judge, Juan Merchant, who basically spearheaded the trial, and the judge has so much power on the direction how a court proceeding goes. And so, you know, when you had the Manhattan District Attorney Alvin Bragg, when he indicted Trump, I mean, people were kind of like, well, what was he being indicted for? And, of course, it was based on misappropriating ledgers and business expenses and various things regarding the organization, which in New York, it's a two-year statute of limitations. Those are misdemeanor crimes. And so if they would have filed charges under the normal statute in New York, that would have been past the statute of limitations. They would not have been able to do that. And so what they did is they piggybacked and said that, well, these different misappropriation of ledgers and giving money to, you know, allegedly to Stormy Daniels, that was right before the election. And so that was election interference. And as a result of that, that's a felony. So now we're going to actually charge him with this a felony crime that was going back to violating the Federal Election Campaign Act. And so they basically were saying that he violated that federal act. And because of that, he was doing that in New York and was misappropriating, you know, the money and the ledgers and business expenses. And so we're going to file the felony charges. And so, you know, as everyone knows, you know, there's all these experts have basically said, no, they cannot charge him, but they still did. And obviously the enemy, what people don't understand is we're in a war. And so you have this communist, Marxist DA, same with this judge, and they have an agenda. So they're not going to follow the rule of law. They have an agenda to try to go after Trump, to go after anybody that is outside of their political thinking. And so that's what they did. And so you have, you know, this judge who basically allowed evidence in that was not able to be allowed in, did not allow anyone that could come in there to talk about the finance laws, showing that Trump did not violate any type of campaign law, federal election campaign laws. And then, of course, the big thing is the jury instructions. And so that's the biggest thing that at the end of the day, he did not allow the jury to take the jury instructions with them when they went to deliberate. And in New York, you're the defense and the state, the prosecutor, is supposed to agree on the jury instructions. The jury instructions are very, very important. And so, but they did not allow that. They did not allow the defense to say, no, we do not agree with, you know, certain parts of the jury instructions. And they did not, and the prosecutor, or not prosecutor, but the judge did not allow the jury to have the jury instructions with them. And then beyond that, then the judge says, well, you can all disagree on certain parts of the elements of what the conviction to convict Trump on, but you don't all have to agree to it. So, but as long as you are majorly in agreement that there are certain parts that he's guilty of, then I'm going to consider that as a unanimous decision. And so that, I mean, that in itself violates the criminal law, the criminal statutes, because you're not supposed to convict a person in the United States beyond a reasonable doubt. It's a high threshold. But he basically said, no, you if some of you agree that he maybe did this wrong, and some of you think that he did something else wrong, then as long as you're all unanimous that he did something wrong, then I'm going to consider that as, you know, a beyond a reasonable doubt. And so that in itself, a judge has an immense power on how he, like I say, can control a jury trial with evidence. And so, I mean, convicting him, I don't think that's a surprise that anyone thought he was going to come out being acquitted. I think being in Manhattan, which was a very, very liberal part of New York, I believe 90% of the people voted for Joe Biden. And so I don't think anyone thought he was going to actually get a fair trial. But to me, you know, all that does, it helps us, I think, in this racial movement, this cause that we're involved in. I think it's a great talking point because, you know, the masses of people, they're seeing how this wicked, corrupt government is going after President Trump. And in their mind, they're like, if they can abuse the system, abuse the law to go against someone who was a ex-president of the United States, who's a billionaire, then they can come after little John Doe on the street, you know, or Mary Jane, someone who's just a conservative or maybe just a nationalist, a white nationalist, a Christian, whatever element you want to describe yourself. But if you're in our line of thinking of being just a conservative Christian, a nationalist person, a racialist person, then they can come after us big time. If they can come after someone who's very powerful like President Trump, an ex-president, then they can come after us. And that helps, to me, that helps me to give me hope from the standpoint. It really helps stir our people to realize that this government is not looking after themselves. They're not looking after our people, the white Christian people, the founders of the Republic. They're not looking towards our people. They're looking to basically annihilate us, to get us out of the picture. That's why they're allowing all this third world invasion coming in. And so this is just, to me, a stepping stone for us to be able to talk to our fellow people out there, because this is a corrupt system that we're involved in, and especially in these major cities where you see more of your communist Marxist leaning, where the cities are majority non-white, it is a corrupt system that we live in. And so that is really something that everyone needs to be aware of. That when you're in these major cities, don't expect to get a fair trial. Don't expect to have the government looking after you. They are going to basically be trying to do whatever they can to destroy you. And I think Trump is just one of those symbols that they've been looking at to try to destroy, because he has that image of being traditional America. And we know Trump is not a racialist, but the enemy has painted him a picture as someone who's a nationalist, semi-racialist, even though we know he's not. They still paint that picture of him, and that's why they hate him so much. But you know, on the flip side, I think that's something that we can use towards our advantage, because it has legitimized our movement, has legitimized our cause and our talking points, when we can directly say, look at this DA and look at this judge in New York, how they're going after President Trump. They're going to come after you as well. And I think that gives us an excellent talking point.
You know, Jason, to voice what you said a couple minutes ago, they're all, I'll put it plainly, the ultimate goal of our enemy, we have a one supporter, Biscuit in Florida. He says that they are their, you know, they're their father, the devil. And we know the men that wear the small hats, the Jews, he says they are the devil's officer corps. The Jew, these Jews that follow their father, the Satan, their ultimate goal, their end game for them is our total destruction, our total elimination off the face of the earth. They want us exterminated.
Absolutely.
You know,
and people don't understand that. It's like their goal is to exterminate us. That's why they're having everything they can do to exterminate our people through interracial marriage, through abortion, through homosexuality, sodomy, allowing the massive third world invasion. Whatever they can do to break up a white Christian country, they're going to do that.
Yes, and we're going to go right back to that as soon as we come back to this last break. Boy, time flies. Be right back, people.
The spirit of the American West is alive and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues of the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas, like this year's Buckaroo calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
This is Attorney Jason Ruff, General Counsel of the Knights Party, based out of Harrison, Arkansas, and proud supporter of Blood River Radio. I, like you, am concerned about the destruction of our beloved America and our racial kindred people and our cherished liberties. As an individual and as a nation, liberty is what we seek. Liberty is important. It is what allows us to be independent, and if properly used, liberty allows us to fully worship God in all areas of life. And with that worship comes more liberty. We are on the verge of anarchy in this country, and personal liberty is looked upon as a crowning achievement of the people. However, Christianity and white law and order is viewed as the enemy of this newfound freedom, and that is why it is under attack. Learn more by listening to Blood River Radio every Saturday from 4 to 6 p.m.
This is a battle between truth and deceit, a battle between forces that would enslave this country in darkness and between a media that wants to present you with the truth.
We are being censored. America's news outlets no longer provide the truth. 90% of news outlets in the United States are controlled by 6 corporations. The mission of the Epoch Times is to chase the truth, to ground all statements in fact.
TheEpochTimes.com.
Dear Blood River Radio family, I wish we had more time with Jason. We definitely got to get him on going soon to talk about this case. This case is monumental. It has violated every law, every God's law, every law of the so-called Constitution that we haven't had for years. It's violated common sense. It's just pure evil. But there's several questions I'd like to ask, but we're running out of time. I would like to ask, you know, two things. I've always heard, I think it was John Jay, that said, every time a man goes to court, I'm just paraphrasing, John Jay was the, if I remember right, he was the very first Chief Justice of the very first Supreme Court. He said, each and every time a man goes into trial to be tried for a crime, he said the law, their very law is on trial every time they go in. If the law is bad, if he's convicted, but the jury says it's a bad law, they can throw that out, I've heard. I don't know if it's still, Jason would know
well,
that.
Well, that's basically called jury nullification, where a jury says, we don't agree that this law should even be valid, and will acquit a person, regardless if there's a statute. If the jury feels that the statute is unconstitutional, they have a right to acquit a person. It's jury nullification. But a judge will not let the jury know that they can do that. Most judges are a lot of times will be prohibitive to even for a defense counsel to say that a jury has a right to judge the law.
My God, I mean, How much more kangaroo court can you get if a judge has that much power? Another question I have then, Jason, is there any way on earth that we could, that we can curb this I think it's extreme I mean, Stalin would turn over his grave, wishing with envy. How can the other than educating people with the power of the jury, the power that the jury actually has? I've been told that if the jury knows their power, they can tell the judge to sit down and shut up. He's out of order. But how can we curb that excess power? My second, I guess the more pressing question would be, do you predict, you said there was a case law, you were going to look it up, but you didn't have time. What Supreme Court said, correct me if I'm wrong, that there has to be a unanimous decision. There cannot be a piecemeal decision on one of these rulings.
Yeah.
The Supreme Court step in, or is the Supreme Court going to come to Trump's rescue?
Well, I am hoping they will. My opinion is you have three justices that would do that. You have Thomas, even though he's black, to me he's probably one of my favorite judges because of the fact he follows the Constitution to the T. But you have Justice Thomas, you have Samuel Alito, and then you have Gorsuch. Those three, I believe, would say, yes, the state cannot convict him, that it was a sham trial. But then you have the Chief Justice Roberts and you have Barrett. It's the Republican lady. I believe her name is Barrett. So you have those two, Barrett and Roberts, that are kind of called your swing votes that may or may not. And then you have, of course, the other liberal judges that would not. So, I think there is a chance, an opportunity that the Supreme Court would do that. There's enough votes on it. Whether or not they will, who knows? I think there are three justices that definitely would say that was a sham trial and he should have not been charged. But like they say, time will tell. To see what happens. But ultimately, that's why people have to realize that your major cities, they're not controlled by the same type of people that are in your rural areas. You wouldn't see that in a rural area, someone going after Trump, or a prosecutor going after Trump. You would see that in a very much left-wing, liberal, Marxist, communist city like New York City. You would see that. And sometimes I think people are kind of naive thinking that, well, I can't believe that they would do that. It's like, well, when you have a certain sect of society, we call them the Jews, that have an agenda, then they're going to do whatever they can to achieve that agenda. And so don't think that they're going to play fair by the rules of the court. They're not going to do it.
Jason, do you think that the judge will sentence him to jail?
I think what's going to happen is I think he's going to play the middle ground. I think he's going to possibly put him on probation and allow the appellate courts work themselves out. I don't think he would put him in prison. I think he would put him on probation, say, this is how far you can go, and may have to wear an ankle bracelet, a monitor bracelet, and do that. I don't think he's going to put him in prison because that would be – he still has the Secret Service and all of that that follows him around. So I think that's going to get him somewhat more of a predicament. So I think the safest way for him is say, well, you're on probation, and kind of leave it at that. But who knows? Again, you got someone who has an agenda that he could say, yeah, put him in prison until the appellate court says otherwise.
So that's an interesting comment. That's an interesting comment. Where could I'm just wondering how the federal branch of the Secret Service, if they're going to take that crap off of it's not even the city, it's just a district court judge. Jason, another, and this is really a Bombardier-esque question I'm going to ask you. What if Trump goes back to Florida, to his home county, and he has a sheriff in his pocket, a constitutional sheriff, constitutional sheriffs, correct me if I'm wrong, they have a extreme amount of power. Some sheriffs have actually threatened to arrest federal officials, Sheriff Mack, for one, Nevada, in past. He told federal officials were out screwing with some of his people, I think in Nevada, and trying to prevent them from building a bridge. And Sheriff Mack told these federal officials, if I catch you out here harassing my people building this bridge, you will be arrested. Could a sheriff, if he knows his power and has the guts, could he protect President Trump and these clowns that come from Manhattan to arrest Trump? Could he tell them the same thing? If you come into my county, you will be arrested. What's the possibility there?
I believe a sheriff would. I mean, the sheriff, traditionally, historically, is the highest law enforcement officer in the state. You have the county, and the sheriff is the most, the elected office. And so it's the most powerful office in a county. And so I think a sheriff, a constitutional sheriff who understands that could say, that I'm the chief law enforcement officer in this county. You're not going to arrest Donald Trump. I'm not going to allow it. And but it determines whether or not a sheriff would go that far. You get some sheriffs that possibly would, who would say, I'm an elected official. I'm the highest law enforcement officer in this county, and you're not going to arrest him. But again, who knows? Sometimes these sheriffs do not want to ruffle feathers, and they kind of abandon their oaths.
It's not like the sheriff would be bucking the Fed. He would be bucking this tin-horned black prosecutor in Manhattan. It's not like he's trying to buck a federal court. I wish with Trump's money, I'm just wishing now that he should do that and tell the sheriff, hey, do your constitutional duty. This was a clown show, a kangaroo court. Well, Nancy, how about you got any questions, Sister Nancy? Chip in here, girl.
I would like an explanation of how they can come up with 34 felonies. I don't understand in a financial disagreement or I don't understand how they came up with that number. How many felonies can they lay on him?
Yeah, I believe, and I haven't looked at all those account felonies charges, but a lot of those 34 counts are all dealing with the financial records, not writing out the appropriate ledger correctly. And, mm-hmm. of course, the so-called hush money and all that basically was, I don't want to spend hundreds and thousands and dollars on a trial. So here's $130,000 and just kind of go away. That's done mm-hmm. all the time. And those are non-disclosure agreements. We all remember Bill Clinton and Paula Jones.
Yes.
Bill Clinton paid Paula Jones $800,000, and no one went after him. And so those are all those different accounts that they went after him. But here's another interesting thing is that the judge did not allow the defense counsel be able to use the argument that I was relying on my attorney to do this. They were not allowed to do that.
My God.
They're even arresting attorneys. But, I think Thomas Massey, who's one of my favorites here in Kentucky, our representative, he even said in an X or Twitter comment recently that he found out millions of dollars have been paid out by the congressman, our congressman, millions. He wants to find out who they're being paid.
Well, folks, we'll have to continue this at another show. Jason, thank you so much for coming on. We got to get you back soon. If nothing else, we'll see you Labor Day weekend. But thank you so much, Jason, for coming on. Thank you, Sister Nancy, for spending overtime. Thank you, little Lizzie, for running the board excellently, and your dad, Jay, when he came in for a few minutes. Thank you, Blood River Radio. Thank you, Rand, Blood River Radio supporters and listeners. Thank you so much. God willing, same time, same place. Next week, we're going to have the United States Ship Liberty Sailor Zone for a while. because it will be the anniversary of UNSS Liberty's of being attacked by our only ally in the Mideast, Israel. Good night, everybody.